All right, let's get her going on this Monday, Thanksgiving Day. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, playing turkey. Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Frank the Tank in on this Monday. Plenty to be thankful for. Yeah. And let's not forget.
Thankful for you, Kip.
Thank you, my friend. South of the border as well. Columbus Day.
Oh, is it?
To all our Real Kipper and Bourne listeners down there, which means a handful of games on tap already. Mm-hmm. Three in the book. Done. With many 1 p.m. Eastern. We just, moments ago, watching the end of a crazy Los Angeles Kings Ottawa Senators hockey game with a score 8-7 final. Is that not a score from the NFL yesterday?
Yeah. No, well tended, goalies. Yeah. Good match today.
Yeah, the Sens outscored the Giants in Sunday Night Football. Oh, no, I think maybe the Giants got a late one last night. Or no, it was 17-7, I think. So, yeah, they outscored them. So
if you're impartial, though, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's great.
Good hockey game.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Well, they played.
That's good. What we want to get to. We'll get into more on the Sens and what's happened so far, including a Florida Panther win against the Boston Bruins again this afternoon in our national hour. In about 35 minutes, we'll welcome in Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca, and we'll get into a further detail of what he saw Saturday night when the Pittsburgh Penguins came in town. And then in the national hour, we'll welcome in Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet. Plenty to dive into, especially with those Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, my God.
Hey, remind me.
Oh, my God.
How far they went in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We should just play the start of last year's shows. Just same opinions. Listen,
I will not say that they're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
I won't go there.
Okay. Stop it. We'll save that.
Connor's mad, though. We'll
next
just say
hour.
Connor's mad.
Sour.
Maple Leafs down the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2 on the first Hockey Night in Canada game of the season. Didn't really start out like a ball of fire between Austin and Sid. But as the game progressed, I think we saw better out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. Your overall assumption before we get into some bigger details and specifics?
My first thought is just to stay on a stats thing. That's the Leafs' ninth straight win in home openers.
Really?
They've won home openers in 9 straight years?
Wow.
Is that not wild? Does that seem like a weird stat to you? Does that mean anything? Just randomness?
I don't know.
I'd like them to trade one of those for a playoff win.
As it's been well documented, JB, there's a lot to love about the Leafs the last 10 years during the regular season.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. Did you know that they've won 7 straight games since 21-22 with John Tavares out? Not because of it, he's out. I'm just saying it's a thing.
So they're comfortable.
So the combination of Tavares out and home opener.
Had to win.
Auto win. But no, greater takeaway, Kip, is still defense doesn't give up as much. Still not giving up a ton at even strength. The big boys got on the board. Matthews didn't, but Marner shot one in. Beautiful goal. Made a great pass to Matthews for a breakaway. Matthew Nyes looked awesome.
Yeah.
I thought, like, awesome. Stolarz had another good night. Am I missing anything?
The headline from Luke's piece on Sportsnet after the game was Maple Leafs swiftly buying into Berube's boring but winning style.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I got to be honest, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Like they are it's hard to really put into words how much different it feels through 3 games than it has in years past. And not to say that they weren't good defensively under Sheldon Keefe, because they had their moments where they were good defensively.
Yeah.
But as a fan and as sort of a non-expert here, like, you know, you're like, oh, how much difference is it going to look with a different system? And it's like, holy crap, it does look a lot different. And Tanev helps and Oliver Ekman-Larsson helps clearly, but God, it looks different. It does.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always said right from the get-go, I anticipated an adjustment period. I still think it's still there, you know, from what I've been able to witness in the first 3 games, that there is kind of that fine line between what you're talking about leading towards success and then maybe a little bit of frustration on an occasion. And when there have been frustration, their goaltending has been there. It's been rock solid. And again, I'm watching throughout the league, including the Edmonton Oilers off to their winless start. I'm watching this afternoon, Kemper, and what started out was Forsberg.
Mm-hmm. To Sogard. Yeah.
And they ain't getting any goaltending at all.
No.
And I think it's made me appreciate at least what the Leafs have had coming out of the gate for three or four guys. Well, we'll exclude Matt Murray in this conversation, that have shown that experience might come into play somewhere down the line. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're good enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I know people don't love this stat, and it's super early, but through three games, the Leafs are the best team in the NHL in expected goals against. So they've given up the fewest chances of any team in the league per game so far. So that's really nice return. The biggest surprise to me, Tanev, for me, not a surprise. He just eats him up, turns the puck the other way. Yeah. Oliver Ekman-Larsson led the team in minutes last game. 25 minutes, really shutting it down. He's first on the team in shot attempts. Yeah. You know, he shot the puck more than Matthews 20 times already, 21 times already.
Maybe a couple times too many.
I'm not sure if I'm
one or two.
if I'm thinking that this is just going to be the norm for this guy.
Yeah.
I think at times throughout his stint in Arizona or Vancouver, if you think that if this guy's going to be that guy that can play and dominate at 22 minutes a night, I'm not sure that's the case.
He was the 50 on Florida, right?
He was the 50, well under 20 minutes. I know some nights you're going to ask him to play a lot, and then there's hopefully some nights when you don't have to play him a lot. But I'm not totally comfortable that this guy's going to come in and average 20, 21 minutes a night.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like 33 for a D-man, I don't think is like you're getting the worst of their career or anything like that. Like he's young enough that he can log big minutes and have some effect. But it is curious. I think the big thing that changed last game is he ended up on the first power play unit. And he was there in Florida, but not commonly. Montour would have run the power play most of the time. So that's probably where some of the ice time is going to come from. But yeah, I agree with you that you don't want him to be your guy. He's actually leading the team in TOI per game played right now at 22.07, just ahead of Jake McCabe.
Yeah, I don't think you want that to continue.
No.
I think you know, halfway through that game, was it when they put Ekman-Larsson on the power play? Mm-hmm. And they flipped that a little bit, so maybe that's where it led to it. But I think you still want to see Riley as your top minute guy throughout the year. But yeah, it's been a really
Riley's
nice...
Riley's behind McCabe now, too.
Yeah, it's been a really nice start for Oliver Ekman-Larsson, no question.
Okay, let's go to a Kipper's Clipper on Coach Berube on OEL.
Oh, do we? I don't think we have an OEL Berube there.
Yeah, we do. Do we? It's on the second page,
right there. Yeah.
Well, he's always been capable of doing that, going back to the Arizona days, coaching against them and seeing like on the power play and things like that. He was always one of those guys that could really sift that puck through and get it through all the time. And you know, we like that he's looking to shoot a lot too, which is good. He had a bunch of shots and a bunch of attempts last game.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Great. Thanks, guys. Big sifter.
So we're going to get into a ton still here moving forward, including Mitch Marner, but it kind of lends itself into the power play. Mm-hmm. And it's a sore spot right now.
Didn't take long. Three games. Mark Savard.
0 for 9.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned to you before we went on air that I had read somewhere some opinions. I think it was Jonas Eichel. But saying that Matthews probably doesn't shoot as much as other stars on the power play or look to shoot as much as he could. And you and I have had the conversation of the opposite.
Yeah.
Where you felt that they're a little bit too honed in on him and trying to get him the puck. Is there anything else that you're seeing that...
Other than the fact that, again, I think watching this afternoon, that crazy game in Ottawa with the LA Kings, and I think five of the first nine were on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
And say what you will about two teams probably undeserving of points this
afternoon.
They
should have given both teams zero.
0 points. But they snapped it around.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just don't see that confidence like the quick confidence of a Leaf power play right now with all that firepower, with everything that's good about their world-class talent. It's pretty remarkable that they can't string four or five really sharp passes to open up a couple of seams and have somebody shoot the puck in the net.
It is truly like everyone catches it, looks to see if they can shoot. So there's a dust. No? What about you? Can you shoot from over there? No? No? Like, there's no just, like, pass, 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 pass. Get the D kind of scrambling.
Now, is that OEL now stepping in? Is that another example of starting with a Morgan Rielly and then moving off of Morgan Rielly?
They have done everything they can do in the past 5 years to not have Morgan Rielly run the power play, but they always go back to him in the end. You know, Ekman-Larsson probably is the most experienced D at it outside of John Klingberg that they've had in the past few years, so maybe he can do it legitimately.
So today at practice, Tavares was absent still with his illness. I don't know what's gotten into him, so maybe...
Flu?
Bad crab cakes? Flu? Whatever he's got. He's not at practice. Didn't play on Saturday night, obviously. So these are their two units today without Tavares present, so obviously that changes things probably when you go to it. But power play one at practice was Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Marner, Nylander, Matthews, and Matthew Nyes. And then power play two was Rielly, Domi, McMahon, Robertson, and Pacioretty. So to me, there's two ways you can look at that, where Nyes is a placeholder for Tavares or McMahon on power play two is a placeholder for Tavares. And I'm not sure which way they're going to go with it. Probably the first thing I said there, power play one. But I do like what Matthew Nyes brings to a power play with that skill in terms of him just being a mountain of a man that can stand in front of the net. So interesting that they're trying to switch it up early. They feel it early. It's nice that they're not just sticking with it and going back to the well. They feel it early. So at least that's positive. They know it sucks as opposed to just banging their head against the wall.
Is this true? I think Matthew Nyes is probably a worthwhile takeaway for us from that last game. First steps of Berube seem to really like him. And, you know, boosting him up a little bit, giving him some more power play time. And Nye's looking really confident. He makes the goal by himself.
Wow, times, just right? his ability to separate opponents from the puck.
Mm-hmm. A unique one on this team.
Oh, it's, and again, I don't know what he's tipping the Toledo at these days, but he looks like he's about 240.
He's a refrigerator out there. And
tipping the Toledo? What the hell is that?
You don't know what a Toledo is?
No idea. I've never heard that in my life.
Did you ever see like a picture of the old Leaf goalie Turk Broda on a scale?
No.
And it's that the Toledo
big,
brand?
Giant.
Oh,
scale.
And it says that's a Toledo brand? Is that what it is?
A Toledo, my friend.
Turk Broda scale.
But yeah. So Matthew Nyes scored a bunch in college, right? Like, I mean, this guy who is familiar is shooting in.
You got a picture of the Toledo?
Doesn't help us out here. It's radio, guys.
It's a hard medium, but I can show you.
There it is. The old Toledo.
Oh, yeah, I hope your tabs are okay. Showing that to the,
buddy,
to the
work,
world.
It's a work computer. All clean, baby.
But yes, Nyes has scored goals in his life, in his career. If he's worked on his foot speed and size and he can get to these areas more, there's no reason he can't score 25 times, right?
Oh.
And if he's a 25 goal scorer, as big and physical as he is, this guy's going to be on the ice a lot for the Leafs. He's going to be an 18-minute guy, a guy they count on, and maybe even killing penalties now.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on Matthew Nyes.
Good five.
He's a powerful guy, I'll tell you. Watching him here, I thought he was excellent tonight. He's strong on pucks, plays the game the right way. You know, the scoring of the goals will come. You know, he's young. It's hard to score in this league as a young guy. I'm not saying he's not going to score, you know, early here in his career, but the goals will come. But he's, you know, we're using him in all situations, killing penalties, power play, out there at the end of the game, six versus five, so... He's been very structured, and the strength of him and his skating is high ceiling for me.
High ceiling.
That clip is as fawning as Craig Berube can talk about a player.
Yeah.
That's as much as you'll ever hear him praise anyone.
Yeah.
Nyes played 21:06 last game.
Yeah, huge menace.
Was plus four.
Plus four.
And a 4-2, and the only player ever, plus two is the next best. So.
But when you kind of break down Craig Berube and what he's preached from the moment he became the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, it is right into Matthew's wheelhouse. So the north-south that is more predictable lends to an easier way to get in the way of people and to emphasize what your strengths are.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's another player on the lineup that can benefit more from north-south than Matthew Nyes, the way he plays.
It's funny that, like, Bobby McMahon should be the light version of that, should be the guy who scores 15 to 20, and Berube also loves and puts him out there all the time, but he seems to fall down the lineup pretty quick for Berube. So
there's a sense of, like, inconsistency with Bobby that he's still – that's what's missing right now is can you bring it every night? And Matthew Nyes as well, coming out of college – high bar, high expectation, in the running for a Hobie Baker Award, leading his club, going to a national championship. Like, all of that lends to being better prepared for bringing it every night. Yep. And if you follow Bobby McMahon's path, there's times when he slipped through the cracks and nobody really was pushing him. He wasn't pushing himself. And that's the only thing missing right now with Bobby McMahon is the sense of urgency to bring it every night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good. It's good they're giving him an early season push. I know in the past he's been a slow starter. Remember the Leafs cut him the 1 year and they're just...
He cleared waivers.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
Cut him because he didn't come to camp in a way that they liked. So maybe just a slow starter.
Yeah.
We got tons of clips from Berube. We have an overview. We have buying into the system. We got lots of player stuff, the power play.
Let's go to the overview for Berube. I want to get his thoughts after three games.
Okay.
Yeah, early on, I thought our legs weren't there and our hands weren't there. Just little puck plays. And they come hard, Pittsburgh. They're a very good forechecking team, a lot of pressure. So we're under siege, but, our structure didn't break on it. We, held our ground. Goalie made some saves, and, I thought that we hung in there with our structure in our own zone.
I think he really likes this team.
You do?
I do. I think after St. Louis, I think he feels like you got the top-end guys who can break the game open. You got enough guys that defend.
It's way too early for me, I think. For him to like it. I think he's very cautious. And I'm not sure he's there yet to liking what he has so far. I think there's still a lot of question marks.
I mean, there's certainly question marks. I just, they lose the first game of the season to Montreal in a game they probably should have won. And they've looked really good. I know their opponents haven't been great thus far. But, the list of concerns is shorter than it typically has been, I think, at this time of year. Where the D is like, we know they have to do something on D. We know they have to do something in net. The only question in net is Joseph Woll, who didn't get hurt, but then was on IR. And now, do we have an update on where he's at?
We do have an update on that. Berube, clip 7, if you want to play that.
Any news on Woll? Any developments there?
Better. Okay. Went on the ice today for a while. So it's a good sign. He's improving. And, we'll see tomorrow where he's at if... if he could come out with us for a bit and get some shots and stuff, I'm not sure yet. Or not. Yeah, we'll see tomorrow. If you have the two.
That's pretty darn close to
Freddie Anderson?
No, Freddie, all or nothing when they're like, I'm scared to look.
Someone ask Joe.
I'm scared to look out the window. Is he out in the ice?
I just like, did we miss him getting hit by a bus? Improving. What happened?
As far as I'm concerned, he pulled a groin.
Okay.
That's it, guys.
In the first week of our show, we had Luke on, who's going to join us again today, so he can take his victory lap, where he said he hurt himself in practice. We all saw it. We saw it, and then we were like, it's fine. They haven't said anything about it.
Finished the practice.
And now we're into Wednesday is the day he's eligible to come off IR, and I don't think he's not on the ice yet, so I'm imagining he won't be contributing in that game. So, I don't know.
There is a sense of frustration that you pick up from Berube. Speaking of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, how could you not? Just like...
Yes, that's exactly. Well, how can you not?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there was some tougher conversations for the sports science department with Sheldon Keefe, but like, I'm imagining how hard those conversations were 10 times harder with Craig Berube.
You know, Sheldon also had a relationship with the Sports Science guys that when I was with the Marlies, those guys worked with us and then came up. They were together for years. They were friends from Sault Ste. Marie. Mm. Like, they had relationships. I think Berube's going to be a lot more like,
so
let's go.
Can he play? Yeah. Like, when am I going to see him here?
I think it's going to be harder.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, the big boys.
What did you say?
Now,
you do here.
We're watching some slow starts around the league with some of the top players in the world. Austin's not exactly off to a great start. I think it was Jimmy Ralph that said this time last year he was off to a horrible start, too, when it came to producing. First period, like that period was just horrific. And then it seemed like Mitch Marner just kicked it right up. His goal is 150-foot goal. Down the wall was, not too many guys, I think, can pull that one off.
Yeah, no, it was a beauty for sure.
That's actually his signature.
Yeah, he has that goal three or four times in his career.
The first goal he ever scored was against Tuukka Rask, where he comes flying down off the right side, cuts into the middle, shoots at low blocker like that. That's like his signature shot. He loves low blocker, always goes low blocker.
It's funny, too, because it's not like there's no fake. There's no, he just shoots it.
Wrist it. Yeah. Well, he's going fast, so it helps.
Yeah, it does. Let's listen to Craig Berube on Mitch Marner. Clip three, please.
I've watched Mitch from afar for a long time and obviously coached against him. He's a very good two-way player, all-situational player. Great teammate that I've seen, Got a lot of energy, a lot of good.
A lot of good.
So, okay. I tread lightly asking this question, but I'm going to ask it. Why is nobody talking about Marner's contract last year? When every conversation I had for the start of the season in training camp, at the start of the season last year, everything was, when is Willie going to sign a contract? And there hasn't been a peep about that from anyone anywhere.
Because he hadn't been getting points.
I don't get a text about Marner's contract from my friends. Like, we don't even talk about Marner's contract on the show when we yell about each other and about Marner all the time. Why aren't we talking about this more?
Because
that don't make no sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Why?
Because nobody has a clue how they should feel about this. That's why.
Who has no clue?
Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody.
I mean, I have a feeling.
Okay, well, tell me your feeling. Tell me your feeling.
Probably should sign him.
Why?
Because he's really good. And there's warts in this city. There's a bad relationship with the fans or whatever, but you're just not better without him. And I put myself included with not loving him, clearly, but you can't just let him go for nothing.
I'm not back.
I'm just saying.
If you've watched how this city has felt with him, about him, over the last few years, not everybody believes that. And to your point, he is a great player. He's a wonderful player, as Craig Berube and everybody else knows. That's not the issue. The issue is, if you sign him, can you win with them?
Yeah, for sure. But you have a better chance to win without him?
I think that's organizations end up making that choice, and no, you're not. No. So you kind of have to be like,
that's not, I don't buy that. Well, I don't say no.
So you think they have a better, like, if they get something for like,
I don't know if you make the right decisions and the smart decisions, the answer is yes. If you just get rid of them and waste it or waste the cap, the answer is no. So, but this is what we do know up until now, that Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and Tavares don't work.
Cannot win with them.
That seems harsh. It's true, though.
What are you saying with that point? Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, you can't win.
How many chances have you had to advance or go to a...
Why was Mitch left out of that cluster there?
I'm including him.
Okay.
I'm including him. I'm saying as a group... Mm-hmm. You've had ample chance to win with these guys together, and they haven't.
Right.
So why do you want to keep them all together and commit long term?
I don't know. Like, sometimes I struggle with this. Like, maybe I just think about it differently, but like, you couldn't win with Ovechkin, right? You're not a winner. You couldn't win with them. And then you do. And then St. Louis makes the playoffs 25 years in a row and you can't win whatever. And then you do. And then you keep doing this until you don't have injuries to Matthews, Nylander, McMahon, and Wohl in playoffs next year. Maybe you get luckier.
Go back and follow the history of the roster from, you know, Ovechkin's years and see how much the core changed.
That's fine. You know, you couldn't win with Steve Yzerman wasn't a winner until he was. Steven Stamkos didn't win until he did.
But you got to tweak core players in, out until the stars aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't do that anymore. You're stuck.
Well, John Tavares' contract is up at the end of this year.
Okay, so maybe next year it'll
change. I'd rather have Mitch, Willie, and Matthews and then spend Tavares 11 than let Marner walk and keep Tavares.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
If those are the two options, I think I know what door I'm opening here.
Yes. Let's
get Tavares out of here for a split second.
Okay.
Can you win with Matthews, Nylander, and Marner?
Yes, you can win.
I think.
Why? Why would you say that?
Because they're fantastic players, which is the recipe to success, the core of any winning hockey team.
None of them hit. None of them have a mean streak. None of them have FU.
Mm-hmm. It's just a really roundabout topic for should they keep Mitch or not? Should they sign Mitch or not?
It's should they sign Mitch and just hope that this nucleus can get it done finally.
Yeah.
I admit I'm jaded in the conversation by the sense that you're going to walk Mitch to free agency.
I don't know what I'm going to do. All I'm saying is they've had ample opportunities to win together. They haven't shown it. People wanted the core four blown up.
Yeah, yeah.
You said it. I said it last year. Somebody's got to go change it up.
If you can trade
Mitch.
And
now you're back to keep them all together.
If you could trade Mitch for a commensurate return, I would do it. I would do it today. But you can't because he has a no move. And so you're hamstrung. So you're better with him than without. So he's going to tie you to a chain and make you sign him.
If my options are, I mean, the time to trade him was when Dubas and Shanahan got into the public spat, right? And it was the no trade window right there. And then Treliving came in and he couldn't trade Mitch Marner within a week of being there. It was not possible. If the options are let him walk for nothing or sign him, and then deal with it. Like, you just have to deal with it.
Who's available in UFA that you're going to spend that 12 on that you like better?
For me, I listen to you, but for you to say just sign them three games into the season, I'm not buying it.
Well, it's not based on sports.
We got to see how they've evolved in this particular year because now Austin has a captaincy. Mitch is at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Willie needs to be better, you know, for people to say, okay, you know, 11 and a half million, you'd be more like Pasternak. I don't know what that is, but maybe this is their time to finally shine through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to see a lot of it for me to go to the position where, okay, Tavares aside, it's Matthews, Nylander, and Marner up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, for me, they're hugely skilled guys, but they're kind of all the same. Mitch ain't running anybody over. Willie ain't running anybody over. Austin ain't running anybody over. And he could, but it's not really built that way.
Yeah.
So where is the...
But this idea, Kip, that you're going to like wait and see, here's what's going to happen when you wait and see.
Yeah.
He's either going to prove me right, have success, and be worth 13.
Yeah.
Or he's going to have no success in the playoffs or less success or whatever and flip the bird to the organization and walk out the door showing him any respect and signing.
If he walks out the door and then you turn around and sign Rantanen from Columbus, you got a problem with that?
From Colorado.
From Colorado. Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen.
Yes. That's an option, but that's not going to be an option.
Why?
Because Colorado is going to sign Rantanen. They're going to
sign. Says who?
Me. Because they're not dumb. They recognize a great hockey player when they see one. You think he could go to UFA? No.
Yes, I do.
Chance.
Yes, I do.
No chance.
Yeah, I do.
So
that's how you got
to
start thinking
into the
about
Leafs, first reported by Real Kipper.
I'm just saying that those are the type of scenarios where you don't need value in, value out if you can get the job done through free agency. You're just filling holes in. And, you know, maybe there's better chemistry if you moved Mitch to Colorado and got something else in return that changes up this stuck in the mud thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be fascinating if there are other options out there.
I do love how much of the tables have turned here. We are sitting here trying to convince Kipper on keeping Marner here. And he's like, well, maybe it changed.
Marner is a fantastic player, but is he maximizing his potential here in Toronto?
Yeah, he is, for sure. Like, I think
he's
played to his potential every year.
Where was that? Like, he was the guy that lost the Boston Bruins series because he didn't pick up a check coming off the bench.
You don't believe that.
But it doesn't matter what I believe. I'm telling you what social media thinks. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets abused like this guy.
Samsonov took a pretty good beating on that one, too, I would say.
Listen, over the course, and I've been a Leaf fan since I was like 6 years old, I've never seen a guy get beat up like Mitch Marner.
No?
No. You?
No, I think
Larry Murphy took a pretty bad beating.
Was that?
Larry Murphy took a pretty bad beating.
I think really...
I sat beside Larry Murphy during those days. Mm. Not even close.
Well,
I think Willie, prior to... like maybe a year and a half ago, it was kind of equal that they both ate it till Willie had a couple of good playoffs and signed a new contract. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a lot of sensitivity, I think, from Marner and that side. And there's this like combativeness with the media and the fan base that makes it hard.
I'd be that way too if I took that abuse that he's taken. Yeah.
So then would he willingly waive his no trade?
And would they trade him during the season?
I would think that's already been explored and shut down.
Yeah.
At least over the course of the summer.
These conversations about, like, just revisit it in January. It's like, boy, that's late. You know, it's like,
it's
going to be March. And then it's going to be, oh, we didn't get him moved. And
it's not the first time that's happened.
Where is the line? Right? Do we have a bet 365 line on Marner walking? Because that's what's happening.
You kind of lived through it for your New York Islander fans with Tavares. Mm-hmm. We've just
that
watched
Stamkos
go through it in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in Mitch Marner's future. But
the one thing you don't want to have happen.
It will move on. You can't sign him now. You sign him now. You mm-hmm. give him 12.
Yeah.
And a half.
When did Willie sign?
Half the town will be telling you you're crazy. Okay?
Half the town doesn't know what they're talking about.
It doesn't matter. There is still that perception out there.
I wonder if Tavares would talk to him
and, it's important.
And be like, hey, I had 9 great years on Long Island, and it was legitimately home, awesome. I was big there. And the way it ended... it sabotaged those 9 years all in one fell swoop. You talk to a lot of my friends on Long Island. They call him a snake, right? He's the snake. Oh, yeah, pajama boy, yeah, he's a snake. He gets booed when he goes home. You don't want that for Mitch, who's been a great Maple Leaf.
But he signed him to 12 and a half times 8. They're going to call him a snake. They're going to say, you screwed us over like you screwed us over 7 years ago.
Well, then sign for 11 and a half. Go for it, times 5.
But they still won't be happy.
Yeah.
I think they would. If he signed for 11 and a half for 5, people would be happy. For sure. No question.
Anyway.
No. He can't win. I'm telling you, he can't win.
Well, then he should trade.
There's still people that think that you can't win with him in the playoffs.
But wasn't that the point of our conversation at the start, where you think they can't win with them?
No. I think he can't. I'm not convinced he can win with this particular group.
Okay.
That there has to be maybe some give here.
That's fair.
I'm not saying you can't win with Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner, you know how I feel about Mitch Marner. He can play on my team.
He can't win with him.
Any day of the week. But can he win with that core forward group?
So you say Mitch needs to be like Phil Kessel to go to a team with 2 better players and
he'd be the best player on most teams.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't have to be Phil Kessel. He's like the star.
Yep. Anyways, that was fun.
We did it.
I brought it up, and we should go because we got to get to Lou.
All right.
Maybe he can weigh in on this.
We weren't really supposed to get into that, were we?
Well, you know what? I knew that I wanted to do it, and I thought that it had been a long time since we talked about it.
We got Pacioretty, Lilligren, Robertson,
Who cares? Let's talk Marner.
No, we'll talk Luke Fox after the break. Yes. How's that?
Sounds great.
More Real Kipper and Born on this Thanksgiving Day, Monday. Back after these words.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the Leaf Hour edition of our program. You guys are Prime members for like, I don't know what, $15, $20 a month?
Yeah, I am an Amazon Prime member. Yes, I am.
So,
kids, we need random things for school every day.
One of those things that just, I look at my credit card statement, I'm like, oh crap, there's another $15 I'll never get
have
back.
Have we
looked at that.
Have we lost track of how many memberships we have? You know what the worst is? Where they go, whatever, maybe you get booted out, you got to put your password back in. I'm like, I've got so many passwords. And then you got to change the passwords because you can't use the same one before. I've got like 10,000 passwords out there.
I can only imagine your password situation. Like,
do you have a password keeper? Or perhaps a hired person who remembers them?
Sammy. And then I just add another A. Sammy. 1, 2, 3.
My password has been the same thing for everything my entire life. But so I'm not going to tell you what it is.
A security check. Very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Not me. Mine are very complex and long and winding.
You'd rather have someone rob you blind than change your password, eh, Sammy?
Yeah, correct. I don't got much to rob, boys. They want some debt? They can
come scoop some of this debt.
All right, let's welcome in Luke Fox, Sportsnet.ca, senior writer. And, you've had you're all set with your Prime tonight, their first game of the year.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually not a member.
What?
I know someone who's a member, so I can get around it.
Oh, the old
they're listening.
Bum off the old password, eh? Yeah. Hey, whatever you can do to save $20 a month.
I think you're giving bad info on the price.
$17.99? $15.99.
Like 80 a year or something.
I don't know. Anyways, listen. As long as the wife doesn't get it going every other day, I got something from Amazon up to my front door.
Is it Christmas again? Yeah, I had that conversation.
All right, enough of that.
All right.
How was your weekend? How was the atmosphere Saturday night for you to kick off this campaign at home?
The atmosphere was okay. I had come from opening night at the Bell Center, and I got to say, the Leaf fans, they could be a little bit louder, a little bit more into it. For the intros and stuff, it was a little bit flat for me, but I liked the way the team played. You know, they got down early. They didn't really have it. That was their third straight home opener because they were in Jersey for their home opener too. And it's a lot of sitting around and waiting. And Mitch Marner even kind of mentioned something to that effect. Like you kind of get thrown off because you get all ready and then you got to sit there. So they came out a little slow, but I just really like how there was no panic in their game. They just kind of kept to their structure, even though they got down early. And then were pretty businesslike about rallying back and taking care of business. And I've just been blown away at how they've bought into Brubé's defensive system. I think about that Jersey game. They could have went cookie hunting after they got up 3-0 early. But they didn't. They just kind of stuck to the game plan. And it's only three games, and they haven't played a playoff team yet. But so far, so good in terms of what the product looks like on the ice.
So one of the things I do in my writing and we do on the show is kind of stock up, stock down, trying to figure out with the new regime who he's going, Berube's going to like more, who he's going to like less. We've seen Timothy Liljegren kind of on the outs, maybe Bobby McMahon a little as well. What are your thoughts on just guys up, guys down over Berube's short time here so far?
Yeah, I'll give you two that are way up for me. just watching. And number one is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I think everyone knew that this guy could get shots through and had playmaking ability. And, you know, he was a star when he was with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
But, you know, Austin Matthews was talking a bit about it today, and I agree with him, is he has a lot more bite than I think a lot of people realize who don't watch a lot of OEL. Mm-hmm. You know, defensively, he's got some edge to him. There was one time where he snowed Montembeau in the opener, driving to the crease and giving guys the stick. And all of a sudden, his stock is way up. He's replaced Morgan Rielly on the top power play unit. That's because they're 0-for-9. But I was looking, and in that game Saturday, you got Hall of Famers on the Pittsburgh side. You got all that star power on the Leafs forwards. And Ekman-Larsson had 10 shot attempts, more than anyone else in that whole game.
Wow.
And Berube likes guys to shoot it. He likes quick decisions. He doesn't want guys getting cute. So his stock is way up with the coach. The other one for me is Matthew Nyes. So he played 21:06 Saturday. That's a career high. He played more than Nylander. He got promoted to the top power play unit because John Tavares was ill. But that job was supposed to go to Pacioretty, and Nyes took that over. He's killing penalties for the first time in his life. And Berube is like, loves the guy's size. He loves his work ethic. He plays in straight lines, which fits the coach's system. So he's all the way up. A note on Liljegren, it does look like he's going to draw into the lineup Wednesday against LA. So he'll have a chance here.
We're talking to Luke Fox, Leafs and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. We had, Luke, a pretty in-depth discussion about Mitch Marner, of course, goal and assist Saturday night. Sammy wanted to go down the path of why is no one really talking about Mitch's contract? And yes, he said he would not speak of it, but that doesn't mean that noise shouldn't follow it around. I said the opposite, that I don't expect anything. I don't expect noise for a while. I think there's a lot of question marks still on both sides. Where from your side, I mean, you're in the rink every day. You talk to fellow, you know, media members. Like, is there talk about Mitch behind the scenes on what may or may not happen short or long term here?
Not a ton. And I think it's only because the topic has kind of been exhausted a little bit. Like, we all know where things stand, and, you know, he wants to make probably more than Nylander. The team doesn't want to give that away just yet. I think it's fine for both sides to just take a breather and let him play. What I would not do is wait till he's on a heater and sign him at the height of his powers. I think, really, the guy has made it crystal clear he wants to stay. I think Trey Living is, you know, he may have been a little bit irked how the season ended once again in the first round. But I think he's come around and realized, you know, it's going to be hard to replace his talent. I think he's warming up to the idea of re-signing him, and there's mutual interest. It's just about a number. Why not just let it play out? Let's just let it play out throughout the playoffs. And I think it will be actually relatively quiet because there's not much new to bring to the conversation unless there is a report that they have talked, or that are a hard number, you know, the Shesterkin or the Swayman type report, where an actual number gets floated out there, then that'll kick up discussion. But in the meantime, I think it's just, you know, watch this guy play hockey, and he had a great game on Saturday, and you know we've all seen him be great in the regular season.
Luke, where are we at in the battle of Nick Robertson versus Max Pacioretty?
Well, I think they're both fine. They're
fine.
Both on the third,
yeah.
Third line. They're fine. I really like how Robertson, you know, he didn't get a point on the Pacioretty goal in Jersey, but that doesn't happen if he doesn't drive the net like a maniac and cause the chaos that allows that goal to happen. I think he's been really good. I think his effort's been off the charts. I think he's been more willing to go to the paint than he has before. Yeah, I mean, the goals aren't going in for him like they were in the preseason, but, you know, I think that decision won't arise until Yarncroc's healthy.
As far as the goal,
LTI.
Luke, as far as the goaltending is concerned, it's certainly been a bright spot, for the hockey club, despite No, Joseph Wall missing the start of it. But do you think it's changed their thought process in terms of keeping Stolarz in the mix, where we actually see Joseph Wall come back and they almost split every other game or close to it based on the success Stolarz has had?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's been rock solid. You know, both goalies have been, actually. It's funny, like they passed the player of the game belt after the game, and Hildeby got it after his win and his debut, and he passed it to Stolarz on Saturday after his performance against Pittsburgh. I mean, this guy is big, he's solid, he's calm. I think he's immediately given the skaters in front of him confidence that he's going to be there to make, you know, the easy saves, but some of the hard ones too. The puck just hits him a lot of the time. So the fact that Joseph Woll has this quote unquote lower body tightness, still hasn't practiced with the team in about a week now. There's no need to rush him back. It's Stolarz's net for sure. And yeah, all of a sudden, you know, I think back to last year when Joseph Woll got healthy, that they were envisioning him as the number one, but Samsonov was playing well. So they didn't rush Woll into a whole bunch of games. They kind of let him ease his way back from injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a similar path this year.
All right, Luke, appreciate your time on this Thanksgiving Monday. Did you have turkey today or yesterday?
Yesterday, and my wife's out of town, so I pulled it together.
Whoa.
Wow.
Me and my, yeah, single-handedly, me and my son, and he had a buddy over. And yeah, it's a lot of work.
Local man discovers old truth.
In the running.
I'd rather just scribble about hockey. But yeah.
You just shot right up to Daddy of the Year award there, Luke. Good job, pal.
Thanks, Luke. Right, appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Okay.
You too, buddy.
That is Luke Fox, Sportsnet.ca.
So, you guys have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we had it at our house.
Your kids are out?
I have one. Two are down south.
Yep.
My parents.
Lovely.
Yeah, and it was great.
Yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving. It's funny, you mentioned cooking the whole... So yesterday I played golf with my mom, my nephew Ben, and my wife. And my dad was left to do the Thanksgiving dinner.
Great.
And like, my mom does a wonderful job. And my dad, left to his own devices, absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Really?
Elite Thanksgiving dinner. Good by work. Old AMAC. So crushed it. While my mom and my nephew beat the wheels off Allie and I in match play.
Is that right?
Oh, it was bad. It was a bloodbath. Marianne and Ben were red hot. We could not get a sniff.
I try to help as much as I can. My wife.
You do?
What
do you do?
Well, I watch the turkey.
Yeah.
I watch the turkey through the glass going, how much longer?
Oh,
it's looking pretty cooked, hon.
Are you a dishes guy? You're like,
big dishes guy.
Yeah. You are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Allie and I did the full dish. Yeah. We did the full dishes. I'm a former aquatic technician myself, so I got a lot of skill when it comes to doing the dishes.
My wife handled it.
I take the long way to the sink, and then somebody's there. I'm like, you need some help? Yeah. No, I'm fine.
I'll try. No, it was great, though. Real quick before we go to break, do we want to hear the clip on Pacioretty's start? Or
I think Liljegren to be a little bit more relevant since he's getting back in. So can we have clip number 8, please, Derek?
I think he's been practicing well. I talked to him a little bit ago, and I think his practice is even better. More intensity, doing things quicker. So, you know, chance he can play on Wednesday.
Listen, right. You got to get him back in.
Yeah.
He's an asset. He's a $3 million asset. You cannot leave it on the sidelines and think that you're going to move him when he's not good enough to even play for you.
No, and like, Tree signed that contract. He must think he's a player. Like, let's get him involved here.
Would be hilarious if he just came out. He's like Scott Stevens trying to run guys.
Yeah.
Like, completely change. I don't know if he has that in him, but we'll see.
Okay. That was a fast hour.
Awesome.
When we return, we go national. Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet, will join us. We'll get into what the heck is going on with those Edmonton Oilers, where everybody but the three of us picked them to win the Stanley Cup this year.
No, Borny did.
Oh, okay.
I picked the Leafs, but no one asked me. So.
Okay, that and more when we return on this Monday, Thanksgiving Day, on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.